you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're living at the right time. Come on now. We are not out of season, out of time. Listen to me. This is a good time. This is a good hour. It's a great time for the church to be alive and following God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last Sunday night, as we were praying over prayer cloths, I had this leading. Some, those of you that were here, about somebody had a foot that was injured. It's okay if I say this, Mike. And anyway, they were sitting right. Remember, I asked for a hand and I didn't see one. Well, they were sitting right on the front row. I was looking over them out. So let me just read to you what he sent me. He said, I fell off of a deck, jammed my toe, and the toe was on a foot that I had surgery on a few months ago and had been swollen and hurting for a week. When we were standing during worship service, as it was ending, I thought, my foot is really hurting tonight. And then you said, someone's foot is aching and God healed your foot. And I felt my foot feel better instantly. And as you said, put weight on it, I did. And the pain, finish it for me, was gone. Brother Mike right down here. Amen. You all right? You all right tonight, Mike? Hallelujah. There you go. God is good, isn't he? I just thought you wanted to be in. You know, God is moving in many places, but he's also moving right here. I'm also going to say this to you, that if you didn't get or hear Pastor Hagin this morning, listen to me. Do yourself a favor and get the audio, go online and listen to it or something, but you got to get that. That spirit of faith that was so prevalent this morning, you need to get that, because I'm going to tell you, in this day, this hour, as you follow God, that's what it takes to do what needs to be done and what God can do through you. That enables you to walk in the plan that God has for your life. Amen. Well, hallelujah. You know, God is doing good things. You can be seated. You can be seated. You know, God's doing good things. This is an hour when God is moving. And sometimes, you know, you say, well, how did you know about Mike's foot? Well, the Spirit of God showed that to me. He does that to me. I remember the first time that I went to a Spirit-filled meeting. It was a Full Gospel Businessmen's regional convention. And I wasn't going to church, had no intention of going to church, but somebody... I was living in bars and pool halls at that time and hustling pool and all that stuff. And so this one guy invited me one time, and I told him I would, with no intentions of ever going. Anybody ever done that? No, don't raise your hand. But anyway, I was pretty good at that. And so one Saturday... towards evening, late afternoon, I'm in the pool hall, and it's a good day because I'm winning. And here comes this guy, and he wants me to go to this Spirit-filled meeting, church meeting. And I didn't want to go, but somehow or other, I didn't know how to tell him I didn't want to go. And so we ended up, long story short, we ended up going to this Full Gospel Businessmen's Regional Convention in Decatur, Illinois. And there was about 3,000 people there that night. And it was just, we were in the back one-third. I'm looking way down there, and there's more people than I'd ever been around, except at a baseball game that I had, Major League Baseball game that I had attended. And so... but I'm feeling conspicuous. I'm in church on Saturday night. Can you believe that? And I'm just thinking to myself, my God, I hope none of my friends are here. I don't want them seeing me doing this. They'll think something, I lost my mind or something. Well, anyway, the speaker was Brother Copeland, and I didn't like him. He was long-winded, and I hated long-winded preachers. That's why I'm going to try to keep it a little short tonight. Anyway. But he went on and on and on. And he had several closing. He was quite good at it. and at closings, you know. And he did it many times, you know, in one message. And finally he closed and said he actually did. And so I thought to myself, as I had been used to in other places where I went to church, okay, good, we have one song and we're out of here, finally. 3 hours. 3 hours. You think this is a long church meeting? 3 hours. I'm telling you. And I, back in those days, I was a heavy smoker, and you can imagine 3 hours without smoke. You know, I'm dying on the inside. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, my God, I wish this guy'd shut up. And I'm enduring all of this, and I'd seen things already that night that I just had no clue what this was all about. People raising their hands, somebody speaking in tongues, and you know, all of that, you know, I'm like, whoa, you know. So at the end, but we didn't sing one more song and dismiss. Brother Copeland started ministering, and one of the things he started doing was word of knowledge, giving words of knowledge. And one of the things that he said, I don't remember anything he said that night except this. He said, there is a man here, and you've had severe sinus conditions all your life. And that right there, that sentence caught me, because I had had respiratory and sinus conditions all my life. I'd had tonsils removed, surgery to get those removed. My parents had tried everything, went to the doctors. The doctors didn't know what to do. I had sniffles year-round. It was just something that nobody knew what was wrong or couldn't fix it or something. At any rate, when he said, there's a man here with severe sinus conditions, he said, the Lord is healing you right now. I thought to myself, whoa, I wonder if that's me. Of course, you know, you can imagine in my condition, I had zero faith at that time. But I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder if that's me. So I took a deep breath because I wanted to see if I'm still got sniffles, and it didn't seem any different. And so I thought to myself, just as I thought, it's not me. But I never had it after that. That was the last time. I couldn't explain that. If my life depended on it, I didn't know what happened, but I'm telling you, I never had it after that. Never had that, never had problems again, never had anything like that. The devil over the years tried to bring it back, but you know, when you don't sign for the package, you know, that's undeliverable. Amen. Anyway, I'm just telling you, God is moving in the earth and he's revealing things. And I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. I feel like I just want to read these to you. I got this nice message outline right here. It's beautiful. But, you know, we're going to forget about that. And I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures that I want you to get a hold of. First of all, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And I want you to know, and this is in this age, the Holy Spirit is giving us visions and dreams. You can take that literally or figuratively. In some way, the Holy Spirit is revealing things to his people in this hour. And he says here, Peter said this, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And so we see then that God is in this age is revealing things by his spirit to his people, whether it's through dreams, visions, in some way, whether it be just the revelation of the word of God, whether it is in some other way, whether it's just an impression in your heart, you know. And there are a number of ways that God can get your attention. Whether somebody's saying something, they don't even realize that they're speaking, that the Lord is using them, but it catches your attention. Anybody ever had that? And they said that none of the rest of what they said really mattered. It was just that one thing. And so this is a good time, isn't it? And then in John 16:13, these are scriptures that many of us know. And sometimes we think, well, we know that. But I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8. He said this, if any man knows anything, he knows it not yet as he ought. What does that mean? Well, we know it to some degree, but you can always know it better. Isn't that right? And you ought to be able to look into the matter until you have it working in your life to some degree. And so he says here in John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, and I like to always say he has come, hadn't he? He's here. And so he says here, he has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Again, we see the Holy Spirit in one of his things that he does is he reveals the things of God, God's plans, what God has for people. He reveals the things that need to be revealed to people if they will be receptive to it. Amen. And so, and then he said there at the end, he will tell you things to come. It's not just about the present time, but about he will alert us to things that are coming. The Passion Translation says he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. In other words, there will be a revelation or revealing. And so, it seems to me then that we as God's people, God does not want us to get caught by surprise about things. Here's another scripture I want you to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. He says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now that's verse 9. And I can tell you, I grew up in a religious denomination where they would quote that verse. They would quote that verse. But they said the tone of voice suggested that not only is quoted the verse that they believed nobody could know it, and they didn't quote verse 10, which says, "Now he says this, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." That is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does: is He reveals the things that God has planned to us. Amen. And so drop down to verse 12. He says, now, everybody say now, we have received. Not going to, not sometime wishing we had it, but now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And here's the reason why. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Isn't that something? Amazing. Wonderful promises. Wonderful scriptures outlining the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15 through 20. And I'm going to read that to you in the Living Bible. And we'll actually begin reading with verse 16 and read down through. He said this. This is Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 in the Living Bible, the old Living Bible. He says, I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you wisdom to see clearly and really understand who Christ is and all that he has done for you. And he says in verse 18, listen to this. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share. I like that statement so much, I just got to read it again. Is that all right? He said this, I pray your hearts be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share. Wow. Did you know you got to share in the future of what God's doing? Every child of God does. Every child of God has a place. There are things that he wants you to do. There are amazing plans that God has for every person. The issue is whether we're receptive and actually praying for God's to reveal those things to us, and that we are open to what He has to say. Amen. And so, here's the thing that is often not the case, and that is that people are sometimes are just not willing to listen. Not willing to listen. Oh, they'll listen some, but typically I find that people will go so far, and then for one reason or another, they stop listening. Maybe they think they got it all. I don't know. Sometimes it's because they don't want to go any further because of what they're concerned about, what God might ask them to do. Because sometimes when God speaks, change has to happen. He outlines some change. And how many of you know change isn't always easy? Sometimes we have to get used to the idea of having to change. Isn't that right? But, God tells us things. If we do certain things, then certain things will happen. And so, you know, one of the things that I've kept over the years is something that I didn't know you all were going to be here. And I had this already, but this is back when I was in Illinois pastoring, and the Word of Faith came, and this is out of Seed Thoughts by Mrs. Hagen. So I don't know, it was back in those years when I wasn't here, but I kept this because it really struck a chord, and she talked about this, and I'm going to read some of it, okay? Is that okay with you? Because I want you to hear this, because this is not just talking about preachers. This is not just talking about a few spiritual elite that can follow God. That's not what we're talking about. It's talking about every believer. Every believer has a right to follow God. Every believer has a plan. Every believer has the right to hear God's voice. Amen? He says, she writes here that God, at a particular time, God said, pray that everything that lies in secret shall be revealed. I had never thought of praying like that. And he brought me two scriptures to use in those prayers. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22 in the NLT version. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. And then the second verse is Luke 18, 17 in the New Living Translation. For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. Now, depending on how you're living, I can remember when that would have scared me clear down to the bottom of my shoes, that he would bring out the way I was living. I wasn't living for God, not even pretending to. I thought church was just a game that people played. I didn't know God even spoke. I was just happy if God didn't notice me too much, you know. I figured if he noticed me, he wouldn't like what he saw. Anyway, and so I'm just ignorant, but that would have scared me. When I actually heard one preacher said he was talking to God out in the field while he was working in the field, and I remember thinking to myself, God talking to somebody? How weird is that? I didn't know. I really didn't know. And so, but here it is. The secret things, the hidden things be brought into the open. Everything that is concealed be brought to the light. She goes on and says this, praise God for the Holy Ghost. He will show us things to come if we'll just be sensitive to His voice. Many times the voice of the Holy Spirit is very soft. You must give Him your full attention in order to hear His instructions. And she shared that revelation with those who were attending a Living Faith crusade, and many in the congregation began praying that prayer. The next morning, she said she received a wonderful testimony about one couple was about to sign what they thought would be a lucrative real estate contract. And after hearing my exhortation, they prayed concerning the contract that everything hidden would be revealed. Suddenly, in the negotiations, very alarming things began to be revealed about the property. Further investigation showed that $33,000 in repairs would be needed before the property was sellable. And of course, they didn't sign the contract, and the Lord kept them from losing $33,000. However, the same day, they closed another deal that netted them $22,000. And that, like the Lord, He gives us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then she says, we have very few people in the world who we can trust. However, I am so thankful there is someone who we can put our trust in, our Heavenly Father. Proverbs 3, 5, and 8, in the Message version, He commanded us, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that'll keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. And I just wanted to share with you that this is so important, that we become receptive to the things of God. It can affect every area of our life. Can I get an amen? And so I just wanted to read that to you. And then I'm going to give you just a couple things real quickly now that I think may it help me in hearing the voice of God and drawing, and just receiving the revelation of God's plans for my life. And I'm going to share them with you real quickly. Number one, spend time in the secret place of the Most High. Spend time in the secret place, as Psalms 91:1 says. Spend time in the shadow of His wings. Draw. In other words, here's the thing. It's similar to the next one that I want to share with you, and that is draw near to Him that He may draw near to you. James chapter 4, verse 8. If you're some distance from a person, you may have difficulty hearing what they're saying, but you can even be physically close to somebody. But if your mind is somewhere else, far away, and they say something, you may still have difficulty hearing. So we have to learn to draw close to God in our heart and our mind, and kind of tune out the circumstance and tune out the things that are around us. And spend time there, not just because we need something, but there are times when, as Pastor said this morning, extended times of prayer. That brings me to another point, and that is that we speak much in other tongues until God's plan rises up in our spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:2 tells us that he who speaks in tongues speaks the mysteries of God, the secret things of God. And so this helps us. This helps us to be sensitive. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. So there are times just to listen. There's not much talking. Ecclesiastes said it this way. He said, God is in heaven. You are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Do not be rash in speaking before the Lord. But here's the thing. Be more ready to hear than to speak. Isn't that right? There is this two-way communication that goes on that God desires to have. And now, here's another one. Consecrate yourself to God's plans, even if it seems impossible what you've heard. Not my will, but your will be done. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. And then here's another one. Believe and speak what you've heard from God. Start speaking it. Start embracing it in your heart. Start speaking it, even if you don't really understand it. Start speaking it out in your own life, not to everybody else, but in your own life. And then there's something else that I want to share with you, and that is this, that you don't always get everything you need to know all at once. You need to make sure that as you're listening to the Lord that you're getting the whole thing. Sometimes it comes directly from God. And sometimes the Lord will reveal it to another person, and that kind of thing. And I can tell you the value of being in a church and having pastors that hear from God. I remember when we were in 2008, we were getting ready to plant a church in Mattoon, Illinois, and we'd found this building. This business guy and I were negotiating in on the building and the price. And I remember one day Pastor Hagin asked me, he said, how's it coming? And just ask about it. And I told him that we were in the middle of price negotiations, and I told him what it was. And I remember all of a sudden he just looked at me and he said, offer him $25,000 less. And I didn't have any feeling one way or the other. I just thought it was kind of strange because pastor just doesn't do that. And then I said to myself, because my pastor said that, I went back to the businessman and told him, I said, offer the owner $25,000 less than what we were planning on. My pastor said. The owner didn't blink an eye. They said, that's fine. Saved me $25,000 right there. So the value of being in a church where you got godly pastors and where a godly word comes forth, because you know good and well, listen to me, today there are a lot of people quoting scriptures and saying the Lord said this and the Lord said that. And I'm going to tell you honestly, especially if it comes from secular people quoting Bible verses that you think, my goodness, they're quoting a Bible verse and they're like they are, you know. Let me tell you what the deal is. Their quoting of Bible verses is often laced with agendas that they want to accomplish. And you need to know that. Just because they quote a Bible verse doesn't mean that everything is for your benefit. Amen? So I'm just going to share with you, I just want to share those things with you tonight that about following God. And you know, the Bible, I'm going to end with this scripture, Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And I would just say it this way, God has a plan for your future. He wants to show it to you. Sometimes he reveals, you may know part of it, but you stay before the Lord until you know all of it. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes it'll come through the Word. Sometimes it'll come by the Spirit of God speaking on the inside. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. Sometimes it comes because you're in the body of Christ and surrounded by people of God, and some person of God has another part. They may not know what they're really saying necessarily every time. They may not say, thus saith the Lord. But I want to tell you, it's the value of being in a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church where there's godly people that believe God's Word. Amen? Stand to your feet and let's thank God. How many of you received the Word tonight? Amen? How many of you expect God to lead you into good things? How many of you have already been listening to God and pressing into God, and yet you're just convinced that God has a good plan for your life? Amen? And some of us need to start pressing into God. Amen. And I know I'll tell you the truth about it. In the last couple of years, I've had to make some changes in regard to my devotional life. I've had to increase it. The Lord may be asking you to increase it, and your first response is, well, I don't have time. But I'm going to tell you something. I found time. I had to find time to obey God. And so that's what we're doing. But I want to tell you, encourage you, the Lord is on your side, and He is for you, and He is working mightily, and He's helping you. He's going ahead of you and arranging things and causing things to be in place so that when you get there as you follow Him, that those things will be there for your benefit and you'll be glad that you followed the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you thank God for His plan? Amen. If you're here tonight or you're watching online and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you need to get in back in fellowship with God, you need to get some things right with God, I want us to pray this prayer, and you say, I want to live different than what I've been living. I'm going to pray a prayer, and these people are going to repeat the prayer, and we're going to ask you to repeat it as well. And we're going to a prayer of salvation and rededication. So let's pray. If you're ready, receive this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross for me. His blood was shed for my salvation. I repent of my sin. I believe in Jesus Christ. I thank you that he's my Lord and Savior. I thank you that I'm now a child of God, a member in the family of God. I thank you that I will live for you with your help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you prayed that prayer, even whether it be just a first-time salvation or whether it is a rededication, I want to tell you that God has received you with open arms. He has drawn you close to him. He loves you. He has great plans for your life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, don't forget the announcements. Now, if you prayed that prayer online, I want to tell you just real quickly. Email us at partnerservice@rhema.org and just let us know that you prayed that prayer, and we'll be able to get you some literature that'll help you be strong in the Lord. And so, amen. Well, don't forget the announcements Dean Tad made. We look forward to seeing you Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Air high five somebody, look at somebody, and air high five or air elbow or wave your foot or do something, and you're dismissed. God bless you.